Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Well, first this morning, born and raised in Derry, Roma Downey left Ireland to become one of the most influential women in television in the United States. She made a name for herself as an actor, playing the role of Monica in Touched by an Angel, and as a producer of series like The Bible, but she never lost her connection to her home place. Roma Downey's back in front of the camera in a new series on Prime called The Baxters. Roma Downey, good morning to you. It's lovely to speak to you this Easter morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Miriam. Nice to speak to you.
Oh, I can hear your Derry accent there. It's still there, Roma.
Yeah. I mean, it's softened substantially, Miriam, because obviously I've lived in the States now for, I moved over in 1988. And years ago, I played Jackie Kennedy in a miniseries about her life. It was called A Woman Named Jackie. And at the time, they hired a dialectician to work with me on my accent. And we nicknamed him the Brogue Basher. And then he'd say to me, you better not call home. Because, of course, anytime I spoke to my family in the city, my accent just, you know, magnifies and amplifies. But I'm sure during the course of our conversation, Miriam, it'll probably get stronger and stronger as the more we speak.
Look, the new series, and we'll go back then to your upbringing in Derry, it's called The Baxters. You optioned those books, didn't you, about 10 years ago. Tell me a little bit about Elizabeth, who's the mum of the family.
Yes, I fell in love with the books as a fan, as a reader of the books. I just couldn't put them down. And as I was reading it, I really saw it visually in my mind. I thought, this needs to be a TV series. So I reached out to the author. I did not know her personally, but I got her phone number. I reached out to her. I said, please, 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 Karen Kingsbury, will you allow me to option the rights to bring your book series to TV? And thankfully she did. And she has written quite a few of the books under the same title and I think has more than 27 or 28 million of the books in print. So it's a very popular series, particularly here in the USA. And so we were making the series, we were casting the series, and the role of Elizabeth was appealing to me. Now, I haven't really been on television since I starred in the American hit Touched by an Angel. And really in the interim since then, that came off in 2004, I've been primarily producing, working as a producer, which I love. And I've also authored a number of books in that period of time. So this is the first time really I've stepped back in front of the camera again as well to play Elizabeth. And I just love the mother's heart that she has. I am a mother myself. And so, you know, a lot of her qualities, I identified with. I mean, she's a much better person than I could hope to be. She's sort of the ideal mother in many ways. You know, she's got a lot of empathy, a lot of compassion. And yet if she feels any of her children are threatened, she's quite feisty. She's the mother of five adult children. And the drama of the piece is how the family interacts. They have issues like any family does. There's a little bit of dysfunction like there is in all of our families. And while they don't always like each other or the things that they do or their behaviours, they ultimately always love each other. And I think that's sort of the heartbeat of the piece.
And I think, is your own daughter Riley in the show, Roma?
She is. My own daughter, Riley, is an actor, lovely young actor. And she steps in to play Erin Baxter, the youngest of the Baxter kids. So that was fun for us to get to work together. We haven't really had a chance to do that before. And I tried to give her as much space as I could, you know, to be her own person in between takes, I would make sure I got a wee hug or something. She's like, Mom. But it's a lovely young cast, a really talented group of up and coming actors. And, but what's interesting is just how they get out of these situations. We don't shy away from, you know, the challenges that they're facing. The first season is going to be dealing with an infidelity. And so some of the plot lines, they play out a wee bit like a soap opera. But because of the sort of inspirational storytelling, we're trying to market it as a hope opera. And the first episode is an hour long, which is sort of normal time frame for a series. But then we go into half hour they're almost like snackable episodes to really appeal to the modern audience that likes to binge their way through series, you know? I mean, when I was on Touched by an Angel, Miriam, it was on Sunday nights. I mean, it was appointment viewing for people. We had 25 million people a week tuned in to Touched by an Angel. Crazy ratings, right? But you had to wait for the till the next Sunday for the next installment. And Miriam, for me, you know, a lot of my career has played out in the States. A lot of my shows didn't end up on Irish television, but now with streaming platforms, like all of my family in Derry City and in Donegal, they all have Prime Video. You know, my Irish friends and family will all be able to watch it in real time as well, and that's exciting for me.
You mentioned the TV series there in the States, Touched by an Angel. You play the role of Monica. As you said, it was massive. 25 million people were watching it. It was the top show. Why do you think that series was so successful?
It was a faith show, but it wasn't about religion. You know, it was just about believing that, you know, either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. And it kind of took the premise that everything was. And I played an angel. I showed up at emotional crossroads in people's life. And finally, when they realized that maybe they didn't have all the answers themselves, they would reach out, you know, in a kind of silent prayer, God help me, please. And that was the moment then I was sort of allowed to show up and say, you know, your prayer's been heard, and you know, I'm here to help, support in some way, encourage. And so there was a real sweetness to it, but it was beautiful, you know, and people really were, I think it really helped people.
Absolutely. And look, it's Easter Sunday. And as you say, Touched by an Angel, it has faith as kind of the root of it. And your new series, Roma, The Baxters, it too, I suppose, has faith very much as part of it. Is that something you always had, Roma? Was that from your upbringing in Derry? Or is it something you developed in later
No, from
years?
Derry. Oh no, from Derry. I mean, my father had us on our knees after our dinner every night saying the rosary. You know, I mean, we were deep in our faith. And then my mother died when I was only 10. And honestly, I don't know how I would have gotten through the trauma and the loss and the grief of losing her so unexpectedly. She wasn't sick or anything, so she just dropped dead. And if it hadn't been for our faith and for the hope that comes with the promise of heaven. So that's been a very important part of my life and continues to be. The Baxters, I guess I picked up the book because, you know, it's woven in there that they are a family who believe. And when life brings them to their knees, they pray.
I mean, when you mentioned there, Roma, that you were only 10 when your mother dropped dead, I think she had a heart attack, if I'm right on that, on the way to the
Yeah, she
library
died.
or something.
That's right. That's
How?
right. I mean, it was just awful. It was like the lights were turned out. It was like she was the joy in the house, you know, and then suddenly she was gone, you know. I mean, she was shown off with a great wake, you know. I think Ireland does death very well with the wake and the allowing of the community to come together. But I mean, I was unconsolable. It was like my beloved mother, she was just gone, you know. It was like she was there one day and she was gone the next. And then as we struggled to try to just put one foot in front of the other, my father, you know, was a great man, but he was a very quiet man, you know, and we wouldn't have been one for discussing a lot of, you know, your emotional needs, you know. And so a lot of that, she just, you know, she just really wasn't even spoken of. And then when I went off to college, I went to England to college. My father encouraged me that my passport out would be my education. And at that time, the troubles were very bad in Derry. You know, I mean, we had a lot of humor and we just got on with it. But you know, it was tense. But so I went to England to college. But when I was in England, then my father died, you know, and so I was still living in a lodging house, student accommodation. You know, I was on my own really. And so when the opportunity came for me that I maybe could emigrate, I thought, well, what's the worst thing could happen? You know, that I would go to America and maybe I wouldn't like it. You know, so as long as I could get back to Ireland, as long as I have the price of a return ticket, I thought that was my exit strategy plan. And I learned early on that courage wasn't the absence of fear. Courage is having fear, but you still move forward. So I packed my bags and I moved to New York City. And at that time, being Irish in England, you know, I experienced, I guess, really it was racism, you know, because of the situation in the North. When I went to New York, oh my God, I thought I died and went to heaven. You know, people are like, oh, say that again. You know, where are you from? You know, and I discovered the Irish American that I didn't really know before, but they love their Irish heritage, and, you know, and America loves the Irish, and America has been very, very good to me. I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've been given here. And, you know, I always think that Americans, if you're willing to work hard, like, assuming you have talent, if you're willing to work hard and you go for it, you know, that's really kind of applauded here and supported here in America. And I appreciate that, you know. Anyway, I love coming back to Ireland. I come back really, apart from COVID, I've been back every year, kept close with my siblings, and still see the girls I went to Thornhill with, the convent school that I went to. We still get together and go out for a few drinks when I'm back.
Your older brother, John, he was a priest and he died. I'm very sorry to hear that. That must have been hard when you were so far away, Roma.
Yeah, it was hard. I was able to, I have had two brothers now who've passed. My brother, Father John, passed just this last autumn, and my other brother, Lawrence, died a few years ago. And it is hard. You know, I made the dash home for Lawrence and I got there with a few hours to spare before he died. And I happened to be able to be with him when he died. And I'd never been with anybody who died before in person. And it was a great privilege, you know, to be there. And then you're with certainty, you know, that their spirit has left their body, you know, and there's comfort in that. I think my brother John got very sick and died quite quickly. I didn't make it over before he died, but I'd seen him just this last summer, and I got over for the funeral, and it was, they gave him a great send off, and it was lovely. But then after that, my great nephew died in a car crash. So we had a lot of loss in our family last year. And I have to say that was the most heartbreaking of all, because my older brother, John, he was 80, you know, and so there's like a natural cycle of life, isn't it? When somebody of that age dies, I mean, I wish he'd lived to be into his 90s, you know, but he didn't, but he had a good life. But my nephew, great nephew, Thomas, was only 17, 18 years of age, you know, and that's like a death of the future. My niece Helen, her husband Dominic. It's been a heartbreaking time for all of us, but for them in particular, that they lost their child and that their other children lost their sibling. And there was a young woman killed in that accident too. There was two young lives lost. And, you know, I follow the news out of Ireland and I see, like, there's an awful lot of road accidents. It's just so, you know, it's just so sad. I mean, I remember growing up, there were a couple of people I knew were killed in road accidents. And I myself was knocked over by a motorbike when I was like 15 or 16. Yeah. And I was out later than I was supposed to be. And I was trying to sneak in home. And I ran out from behind a car. You know, I would take responsibility. But a motorcycle was coming down our hill and hit me on the street. And, you know, thankfully, nobody was badly injured, but my father opened the door thinking I was already in bed. And somebody said, "There's your father." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so busted here," you know. But he was so worried about me that he forgot to scold me for being late, you know, but I was like 15. But yes, I think the loss of a young person is especially heartbreaking.
And I know you mentioned your dad there, of course, being very worried. Of course, he was minding you in his own because your poor mum had died by that stage. But he gave you inspiration, didn't he, Roma, for a recent children's book, A Message in the Moon. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, when I was leaving, so he, as I say, encouraged me to go off to college. Now, remember, and everybody listening, remember, there used to be a time when we did not have cell phones. I was leaving and I was anxious. You know, I'd never left him before. And when he took me outside to the moon and he pointed up to the moon in the sky and he said, "Look, wherever you go in the world, Roma, it'll be the same moon shining on you that's shining on me." And he said, "Just know that I'm always going to leave you a message in the moon." Oh. And so, you know, I'd be coming home from college or working late at the library or something, I'd come back and I'd glance up into the sky in England and I'd see the moon. And I'd know that my father had left me a message in the moon, and I'd pick up his message and I'd leave him one back. Well, as I mentioned to you earlier, my father died while I was at college, and I was a bit nervous and anxious to see the moon again because I thought the moon would now be silent. There would be no more messages. But I was mistaken, because my father to this day is still leaving me messages with the moon. So using that idea, Miriam, I thought that would be a nice basis for a children's book, to adapt that story for to help young children in particular who have anxiety about separation, you know, maybe their first sleepover or going away to, you know, stay with their grandmother or something, and they're going to miss their mommy and they're going to miss their dad. And it's just a simple thing, but to use the moon to say, you know, it's the same moon, it's looking at you, it's looking at me, we're all connected, wherever you travel, we're all connected. And, you know, my hope was just that reminder that we are all connected and that we all kind of belong to each other. It was nice because I dedicated the book to my father, Paddy Downey. And as I had done a few years before with my, I'd written a memoir, kind of a spiritual memoir called Box of Butterflies. And because my mother, you know, I always connected her to the butterfly symbol, because when we went up to Derry City Cemetery after she died, it was Mother's Day, my dad took us up there, and a little butterfly had sort of flown around her tombstone, and my dad said, that could be your mother's spirit right there. And I sort of attached to that. It just was, it made me feel better. So I've got the moon for my dad and the butterfly for my mom. You know, I'm glad to honor them where I can.
And you have, which is lovely. I gather, Roma, you're a big Derry Girls fan.
I loved it. Oh my God. I loved the Derry Girls. And I tell you what, I mean, I just loved it. I thought the humor was like great crack. They were such great characters. Lisa McGee is brilliant. But what I loved, particularly when I went back to Derry, my daughter Riley and I went, we stayed in Derry City. And I took her on a walk around the walls and a walk around the centre of the city. And I was sharing with her some memories I had from growing up as a girl there. But what I was so pleased to see from the beautiful mural there of the Derry Girls, and how the city has almost rebranded itself. You know, when I grew up there, we were bombed to bits. We were burned out. We had a lot of temporary shops. We had a lot of car parks because where buildings used to be, you know, there were army checkpoints getting into the town. And now to see it, the town is thriving. Peace has held, thanks be to God. And to see that the sort of the Derry Girls is the new face of it, it's just so great to see how the sort of resurrection, here we are in Easter, to speak about resurrection of the city of Derry, and how Derry Girls, I think, has played a big part in that.
Well, Roma Downey, first of all, congrats on all your own success. And yeah, The Baxters, it's a great series. It's streaming right now on Amazon Prime Video. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to me this morning, Roma, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too, Miriam, and to everybody listening. All the best.